Good morning.
Good morning.
It's great to be back. And I just want to, before I say anything, just kind of say thank you, thank you, thank you for giving me this opportunity of this 3.5 month sabbatical. It's because of your goodness and your generosity that I've been able to do this. And it's great to be back. It was good to be away too, but it's great to be back. And it was a wonderful time. My goal was to be refreshed, renewed, and to have some time to relax. And I think all those happened and more. I feel really healthier than when I left. I lost a few pounds, which is good. And I did some physical exercise and lots of different things, as well as reading and studying and thinking and all those kinds of things you do on a sabbatical. One of the highlights of my sabbatical was really spending time with family, having a chance to be with my family. But I always try to remind people that I was on the sabbatical. You know, I had these 3.5 months free. The rest of my family didn't. They had lives and jobs and careers and things to do. So it was a balancing act. The one thing we all did together, Mary and I, my daughter Rebecca, and my daughter Elizabeth and her husband Danny, is we went to Disney World for a week. I mean, if you want to separate from the world, Disney World is a place to go. And we had a great time, all of us adults, enjoying Disney and eating some good food at Epcot, if you've ever been there. Just had a great time together. We also went to, Rebecca and I actually went to New York, to Manhattan, and met up with my daughter, Elizabeth. Mary couldn't join us in this because she had a project at work she couldn't get away from. But we went to Manhattan, and the goal was to go to two of the best ramen restaurants that exist. Do any of you eat ramen? When I bring this up, most people say, you mean that stuff you get at the supermarket, you pour the boiling water on and you get salty noodles, is that what you're talking about? That's not what I'm talking about. A lot of college students live on that, but comparing that to ramen is like taking a can of Chef Boyardee ravioli and saying, this is Italian food. This was a whole nother level. And we went to two restaurants, Ichiran and Ippudo in Manhattan. Best ramen we ever had. Locally, the best ramen, I think, is in Dashi in Durham, where we actually had dinner last night. So if you're into ramen, Dashi in Durham, got to give it its due. But it was a chance to travel and be there together. I'll get back to that trip. Also spent time in Cape Cod a couple times up and back. It was a chance for me to, a couple times I was able to be there just by myself. That was kind of the retreat time. And also be there with family, but a retreat time to kind of do some thinking and some kind of calmness. I took lessons, bought a kayak, and started kayaking, which was great exercise, and riding my bike there, catching up with my brother as well, who lives up in that area, going out on his boat. Also had a chance to walk the trails and the ponds that the poet Mary Oliver walked for many years. I mentioned to you the poet Mary Oliver is just one of my favorites, and she lived in Provincetown for 40 years and was really inspired. Her writings are inspired from that area. So it's really powerful for me to be in a place. You ever had that experience? You're in a place where someone you admire is, and you feel like you're touching them somehow, you're getting that experience. So I had that chance as well to do that. The trip to New York, though, was besides eating ramen, we went to the Metropolitan Museum of Art, spent a lot of time in the Egyptian exhibit, and also walked around Manhattan. And I don't get up there that much anymore. You know, my parents passed away a couple years ago, so I don't really go up to New York that much anymore. So it was a kind of a moment. I said, you know, I mean, who knows when I'll be back. So we also stopped at St. Patrick's Cathedral. I felt I needed to do that this time because this November is the 40th anniversary of my ordination to the priesthood. And I was ordained at St. Patrick's Cathedral. And we went in there, and again, you ever go to a place that brings back the memory, the experience, the energy, the dreams, the visions? You know, we went to St. Patrick's, and I just stood there for a moment with my arm around my daughter. Could have imagined that 40 years ago. Um, and just stood there, and just, it wasn't a long time, but it was just a moment to remember that time. And it brought me back to when I was ordained. I'm a boomer. I grew up, you know, the 60s, 1960s had a great influence on me, 1970s. A lot of my ministry, my vocation, was shaped and formed by that idea, as we say on the wall out here, to change the world, to bring about change, to bring about transformation, to bring about justice, not only in our own lives, but in the world around us. And I just connected, not that I was disconnected from it, but it just reminded me of that. And I stood there saying to myself, wow, you know, 40 years, so much has changed in 40 years. So much has changed in 40 years in my life. Some of you can reflect on your own lives and the span of your life and your careers, but so much has changed. But it also struck me, so much has not. So much has not. And that sense of my own vocation was sort of reinvigorated as I stood in that place and walked and said to myself that the call for transformation, the call for change, the call to kind of for justice in our world still exists and going forth from there. So I began to reflect on that a bit, and there's a quote that I want to share with you that I read in some of my readings. I forget who said it, but I don't want to take credit for it because it's not my quote. But the quote was, let me read it to make sure I get it exactly the way it was worded, because it's kind of important. The phrase was, when we're not hungry for justice, it's usually because we're too full with privilege. When we're not hungry for justice, it's usually because we're too full with privilege. You know, privilege can do many things. Privilege can lead us to defend that privilege, whether it's conscious or not. Oftentimes it's not conscious. Many times it is. And that privilege can lead to power. One form of power. Lots of forms of power. But one form of power that defends the privilege and keeps it safe and keeps us from changing in any way. Whatever that privilege is. And it struck me that that quote, for me, so defined not only that time 40 years ago, but today. Privilege has led to racism, to bigotry, to violence. Privilege has led to defending the fact that we live north of that border. And power is used to protect that privilege, whatever it is. We live in such an incredible time. And we can look at this and talk about leaders and get into politics, but a lot of what we're experiencing is perhaps what one author called the underbelly of us. Yes. Something has surfaced that maybe was not being looked at or seen. Something has surfaced in our culture, in our society. And there's power being used to defend so many things that need to change in our lives. And so it's very timely that this gospel reading is with us today. This gospel reading where Jesus says to his followers, it's almost shocking. I've come, you listen to this the gospel reading today, you almost don't want to hear it. I come to bring fire. I come to bring division. I come to bring father against son, daughter against mother, daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Just this incredible, I've come to bring division. And we kind of say to ourselves, but this isn't the Jesus I know. The Jesus I know is about peace, about healing, about love. But oftentimes, when we hear something in the scriptures that we can't believe Jesus would have said, more than likely he said it More than likely, he said. You can almost be sure that those are the things that are closer to the message of Jesus than some of the other things that are put in there. Jesus was recognizing something. Jesus was only in his 30s when this ministry was happening. His followers were probably around his age in their 20s. They were facing the privilege and the power of their time. And Jesus' message was to challenge that. Jesus' message was to call people to a different kind of a power. Not a power that defends privilege, but a power that's transformative. A power that can change the world. A power that can change lives. A power that can change the society and world of not only his time, but our time as well. And that's going to bring division, because people don't always agree. Challenging power, challenging privilege, challenging things is a difficult thing. Picture going up to somebody and saying, "Hey, Joe, I think you're a racist." "Oh, George, geez, I didn't realize it." Thanks for pointing that out. Let me see what I can do about that. We don't live in that kind of a world. We just don't. And so there's challenges. There's challenges. But the wisdom of Jesus is that he knows that, and he names it. There will be division. There'll be division in the world. There'll be division in families. There'll be division among generations. But it's not so much division for the sake of division, but division to lead us to something. To lead us to something. We have to know where we are before we can get somewhere else. And together we need to live that life. And so as I return, this gospel has led me to this kind of message today. We here at St. Paul's, we have a role to play in this world. We have a role to play in each other's lives. As we enter into relationship with one another, being away for a while, I brought all of you with me on this sabbatical, and just thinking of people here at St. Paul's, one of the many strengths of St. Paul's is the ability I see of people having incredible relationships with each other, even though they disagree about things. People have different bumper stickers on their cars at election time, and yet together they're friends, they're best friends, they're in relationship with each other. And friends, that to me can be a model for what we, it's something we just presume here, but it's a model for what we can be together, that we can model this. There is difference, but we can be in relationship, and we can use our power not to defend our privilege, whatever it is, whether it's nationalism, Christian nationalism, that's even a some folks are pushing that. How can we challenge that and use our power together to make a difference, to transform this world, to not let division separate us, but let it draw us together? Friends, our world is in incredible need of healing. I just can't believe where we are now. But that doesn't stop me from the hope, the dream, the vision that Christ offers us. Let us go forth this day with a power that can transform our lives and transform this world.